all of you. I hope you've had a good week. How many of you remember what we talked about last week? Ignorance. What, therefore, is an appropriate thing to talk about today?
Wisdom.
So I thought that's what we would do. I'd like you to turn to Exodus chapter 31. And I want you to look for just a moment. This is a section of Scripture where God is speaking to Moses, and he's speaking about the plans to build what we call the tabernacle, the structure that was movable, that was replaced by the temple when Jerusalem was settled and when they were ready to put things there. And what I want you to notice is how he describes this particular fella named Bezalel. In the first verse, he talks about a particular man, Bezalel, gives his heritage, who his parents are, who his grandparents are, and he says of him, I have filled him, this is God speaking to Moses, I have filled him with the Spirit of God in, and then there are three words. What are those words?
Mine says wisdom.
Is that your first word?
Skills.
Skills is your first word. That comes last in my list. Chapter 3, I'm looking at verse 3, I think. Chapter 31, verse 3. Thank you. Chapter 31, verse 3. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in, then I have three words. The first word is wisdom. Is that word in your list?
Knowledge.
The second word is knowledge. And the third is a phrase, not a word. Skill. In every kind of craft. That's the list I have. And he goes on to talk about all the different things this guy knows how to do. He knows how to design and carry out work in gold and silver and bronze. He knows how to cut stones to be set. He knows how to do wood carving. He knows how to execute every kind of work. And to help him, I have given him, and he names a second person. And then he goes on to say, and I have endowed the hearts of all the skilled men with the skill to make everything I have ordered you. But this phrase comes out better in another translation. He says, I have given special skills to naturally talented craftsmen. There's one translation that words it that way. I want you to work through this process. When people talk about spiritual gifts, they usually go to Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and they look at all the things, and it starts with apostles and all this kind of thing. But the truth is, I think spiritual gifts are actually showing up back in Exodus 31. There is a craftsmanship that is a spiritual gift. Listen again to how that one translation reads it. I have given special skill to naturally talented craftsmen. You hear how that talks about? So it's not just I'm talented for so-and-so, but special gifts that go along with that. Now, let's make sure that we're not missing something. You have the word knowledge in your translation, right? You have the word skill in yours. Do you have a third word?
Ability.
So your third word is ability. Is there any other word?
Expertise.
Understanding.
Well, and it also says knowledge in all kinds of crafts, not just knowledge.
Okay, well, this kind of thing, in my case, it's applying, it seems to be applying here, but it could be applying to both. But in my translation, this word wisdom leads it off.
Yeah. King James has a fourth word, understanding.
So my question is, What is wisdom? As Scripture presents it, what is wisdom?
Wisdom comes from God.
That's where it comes from. What is it?
The beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning.
That's
of
where it
wisdom.
Begins. What is it?
What I'm inviting you to do is amplify or add to this list. Either amplify it or within it. So. I heard somebody say discernment.
How about good sense?
Good sense. Good sense. Yes. That's what I think.
Do you watch the television show Big Bang Theory?
Yeah.
Do any of you watch that?
Sometimes.
There was, I've actually figured out how to save this particular episode before it gets on sale, and I'll buy an official copy. Sheldon was stuck on something. And he decides that what he needs to do is what Einstein did. Get a mindless, boring job like Einstein had at the patent office. So that as he goes about his menial tasks, his higher level brain function can really cogitate over this problem he's dealing with. So he goes to the unemployment office and looks for a job. And describes it just that way. And the woman across the table is priceless. It's worth the ticket of admission to watch that show just to watch her. She says to him, "What was your former job?" And he rattles off theoretical research physicist at Caltech, da 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 da. And there's a pause, almost time for a drum beat. She says, "I see." You can have knowledge and not necessarily have good sense. And Sheldon on that show really shows that up well. If you don't know the show, don't worry about it too much. But it is worth watching. Jackie, you had your hand up a second ago.
Yeah, when you were asking what was wisdom, I was just going to say that I always thought it was tied in with maturity and age, because it's something that typically comes with times and experience.
Tied to maturity and age, and then you said something else. Tied to experience.
Yeah. It's something you do when you can't. You just don't acquire at the beginning of one's existence.
Yeah.
Well, my translation says know how. It's not just the knowledge, it's knowing what to do with it.
Know how. Not. I have to admit, I am a fan of words, and if I weren't a chemist, I don't know how I could be an English teacher, because what they do, it doesn't relate at all. But the things they could do just seems so exciting to me, to show how words can be used, employed. Rhetoric, I think, is the old word for this kind of thing. The ability to use words to express ideas in subtle ways. Maybe wisdom has some of that in. What else?
Application of what you know to life. I don't know how to phrase that. Applying what you know.
So both know-how and application. Right? Knowing how to fix an engine is not the same as actually accomplishing the fixing of the engine. I know how to solder, but I had to solder something a week ago and it took me 3 hours and it wasn't very pretty when I got through. I know how. I know the principles. But the equipment just would not cooperate. It's always okay. I will tell you, for what it's worth, there's an echo in of this in Exodus 35. There's an echo in 36. You can look at that later if you want to. Wisdom, intelligence, and skill. I think that captures something on the craftsman side of things. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Now, do you remember what the book of Deuteronomy is all about? This will help you. It's the second presentation of the law. So a lot of Deuteronomy is a review of things, right? So it starts out and it begins with a history lesson. In the middle of this history lesson is something really interesting. Verse 9, Moses said, I led you out of Egypt as God told me to, but I told you I cannot be responsible for you by myself. The Lord has increased your numbers. You're now as numerous as the stars of heaven. The Lord your God is going to increase you 1,000 times more and bless you as he has promised you. How can I cope by myself with the bitter burden that you are, with all the bickering? So, I told you, from each of your tribes, pick, and there's three words.
Wise.
Discerning.
Experienced.
So here's another list. Wise. Wise, discerning, and experienced men.
And appoint them to lead you as captains of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens, and as scribes for your tribes. And then he went on to talk about brothers. Now let's look at those three words. In my translation, it says wise, shrewd, and experienced.
Shrewd.
Understanding.
Is that spelled right?
Just understanding.
There is a translation that adds, and I don't see which of these it replaces it with. It says, with a good reputation.
Respected.
And your translation says respected.
Respected is the same thing. Why is it
known?
Good reputation.
Yeah. Known is sort of a neutral word. Known and positively known would be what I think might be in there to really fit with the other translations. So there's another list. In my translation, it actually uses the word understanding as well for this middle part. So these are all terms that fit around this a little bit. Now, I want you to turn to Deuteronomy 34. We're going to look at one or two more before we stop and sort of gather ourselves, and then we'll see how much further we can go. Deuteronomy 34. What follows Deuteronomy 34?
Joshua.
A different book. So this is the end of Deuteronomy. And in this book, Moses is gone. He is taken by the Lord to a hidden place where he dies. And who takes over? Joshua. In my translation, in verse 9, it says something important about Joshua. Can you find verse 9 and see what it says? He was filled with or full of the spirit of wisdom. Filled with the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hand on him, and him the Israelites obeyed, carrying out the orders which the Lord had given Moses. Talks about the spirit of wisdom. Again, that sense of a gift from the Lord, if you will, a spiritual gift. Okay? And now, the last one of these we're going to do, turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. We'll have two or three things in this piece, but we're going to see all of this. Who is the subject focus for 1 Kings chapter 3? When you get there, Solomon. And what has happened, God has come to him and has said, ask what you will. Tell me what you want, I'll give it to you. Or at least I'll consider giving it to you. Tell me what you want. What does he ask for?
Wisdom.
Some translations say wisdom. Other translations have a slightly different wording. Does yours have any different wording? I'm looking at verse 9, verse 10. A heart to understand, a discerning heart. To understand or to discern what?
Between good and evil.
To difference between good and evil, and I think there's another part if you look a little further.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the way mine words it. Give your, this is Solomon replying to God, so give your heart, servant a heart to understand how to govern your people, how to discern between good and evil, for how could one otherwise govern such a great people as yours? It pleased the Lord that Solomon should ask for this. Since you have asked for this, God said, and not asked for long lives, life for yourself or riches or for the lives of your enemies, but have asked for discerning judgment for yourself. Here and now I will do what you ask. I give you a heart wise and shrewd as no one has had before and no one will have after you. So a heart to understand how to govern. A heart to understand how to discern good and evil. And God grants that wish. Now, I think it may be appropriate for us to stop for just a minute, and let me try to set a context for you to understand all this. When you work through the Bible, there seem to me to be two kinds of wisdom that are discussed and displayed. One kind is what I will call empirical wisdom, wisdom that connects with experience. Empirical generally means, to a scientist anyway, learned by experiment. So empirical wisdom. The other is what we will for the moment call theological wisdom or spiritual wisdom. Empirical wisdom comes at three levels. Level one is skill, the ability to accomplish a task or attain an objective. You might put this in a contractor's context, you could put this in a military context, you could put this in a business context. The skill, the ability to accomplish a task or to attain an objective. Level two, for which I'm going to use the word shrewdness today. I may change the word tomorrow, but today I'm going to use the word shrewdness. This is the ability to bring a definite objective into focus and discover the means for accomplishing it or reaching it. Do you hear the difference between the first and the second? You hear the difference between the first and the second. Let me try to help you focus this a bit. For 20 years, I've been in a partnership with a fellow at UVA. We work together on scientific projects. He has a mind that can see things that we might try to do that I can't see. But once I see them, then there's lots of things I can do to help us get those things done. He's working at level two. I'm working at level one. And I understand that. The partnership is pretty good. He's got all the abilities I have and then some. But because he can't be in the lab every minute, and I can during the summers anyway, it's a healthy partnership. So the ability to accomplish something, to really get it done and get it done right, that's very important. And not everybody has that. I'm not putting that down. But the ability to figure out what ought to be done and how to go about moving towards that in the right kind of way. That's a different level. Do you hear that? The Bible talks a lot about that. And a lot of what the Bible talks about with wisdom touches on that. Third level is righteous knowledge. What? Righteous wisdom. The ability to make correct ethical decisions. The ability to do the right things in the right ways at the right times with the right folks. The ability to make correct ethical decisions. And if you notice, what this has done is it's led you right up to the edge of the other one. Okay? Now, I'll try. Shrewdness. The ability to bring a definite objective into focus and to discover the means for attaining or reaching or accomplishing it. What ought I to be doing? What could I be doing? As opposed to, how do I get this done? When you start reading about spiritual wisdom, the list looks almost drastically, surprisingly different. It doesn't sound like that first list at all. Number one, what it's not. It is not acquired from the teaching of men. It is rather, spiritual wisdom we're talking about now, a gift from God. and it's a gift given to those who fear him. Rita said a little while ago, very appropriately, I kind of cut her off, and I really shouldn't have done that because it was a really important thing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Right? It's a gift of God. You don't get this from teaching a man. You're not going to go to Barnes & Noble and pick up a book and get wisdom out of that book. This level of wisdom, this kind of wisdom, isn't attained that way. This wisdom comes from God. Its origin is on God's side, not on our side. This is something we acquire as a gift from God. And that gift comes to people who fear him. Jesus said at one point, you want to know if what I'm saying is true, get to know my Father a little better. Second characteristic, these are not levels, these are characteristics. The second characteristic is it is found in created nature. It is found in human society, but its origin is with God. Where do you find it? You can find it here. You can find it in the created order. You can find it in human society, but its origin is with God. Okay? Now, the question is, what is that kind of wisdom? And what I propose to do is take a few minutes, read a bit further, and see if we can begin to figure this out. Okay? I'm going to skip over all of that. Turn to Job chapter 8. I want to make real sure you see something. Job chapter 8. And I want to look at verse 8. Now, in order to get to verse 8, I want to back up just a little bit. And my translation has the verses in a slightly different order than you, so be patient with me. If you look, you'll see the things in there. I want to start back around verse 5. You, for your part, if you're pure and honest, must now seek God. Plead with the Lord God Almighty. I think that's verse 5 and the start of verse 6, but probably reversed in order. Forthwith, the Lord's light will shine on you, and he will restore an upright man's house to prosperity. Your former state will seem as nothing to you, so great will your future be. Now here's verse 8. This is the one we've headed to. Question the generation that has passed. Meditate on the experience of its ancestors. Now let's dig real hard into the words here. Meditate on the experience of its ancestors, not your ancestors, its ancestors. I tell my students that the big thing that they seem to have problems with is undefined pronouns. So when you use a pronoun, you always got to know what it refers back to. Question the generation that has passed. Meditate on the experience of its ancestors. Its means the generation that has passed. So, you've still got access to some really old people, people who've been around a while, people who have lived life for a long time. Get as much as you can from them, and then ponder what you can find out about the people who went before them. So far, okay? Why? Wisdom is tied to maturity and age and experience, and you're crazy not to take advantage of that. So far, okay? So far, okay?
Why are kids so reluctant to do that?
I was hoping somebody would ask that question.
We called you, Lois.
I've had 3 phone calls this week. Phone calls from folks who are working with our youth. And they are saying, we're meeting, we're talking about what to do in this transition period. And we're realizing as we come together to try to take more and more responsibility for leadership, we need a few more people. And we need people not to teach the Sunday school classes, not to do the leadership. We need people just to be there. We need older people who can come in and be a presence that our kids want. The kids want that. The leaders see the need for that. Such things as, if something happens in the youth group and we need to call and let people know, maybe there's an older person who could make the call, a person these kids would already know because the person just is with them. Maybe we need people who are present not to teach but be in the room with them to add something to what's being taught, to react to it. Folks, maybe to open their homes for a different kind of interaction that the kids could have. And the question came to me, are you willing to walk into your Sunday school classes and say that? And I said, yeah, I'll say that. Because it actually fits with what I'm going to talk about. Did you hear Barbara a little while ago talk about BookNet? Did you hear what she says? It was hot as the dickens, but it was great to see what? What was it she saw? An adult and a child sitting down reading together. Because that doesn't happen enough. Question the generation that has passed. Meditate on the experience of his ancestors. Do kids want to do this? Maybe not enough of them, and maybe not enough that they want. But I think that hunger is still there. I'm hearing from the... I actually spent about 20 minutes upstairs sort of following up quizzing. A lot of the kids in our church have parents here, but they don't have grandparents here. And I don't know what this would look like. They don't know what this would look like. But there's meetings that are going on. If you're interested, join the meetings. Be part of the discussion of what could be done. And if something comes out, you say, you know, I might be able to do that. Then that might be something to do. I simply toss that out. Now, I want to make sure you get the other half of this. I want to stay in Job, but I want to go to chapter 32. Job chapter.
Before you move on, I'd like to read my translation of that verse.
Yeah.
Look for a moment at ancient wisdom and consider the truth that our fathers learned.
Read that again. That's good.
Look for a moment at ancient wisdom. Consider the truth our fathers learned.
Okay.
And then it says, consider the things searched out by their fathers.
A lot of work's already been done. You crazy to have to come back to the point of relearning it. Those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it.
One other thing. Where I went to high school, two or three times a year, they have what they call Speaker's Day. And the alumni comes back and goes into actual classrooms and talks about their experiences since they left the academy.
We've been doing that in the Richmond UR Chemistry Department for about 10 years now. Every year we try to bring back at least one of our alumni to talk. Those are pretty powerful things. Now, just to keep you from getting too big a swelled head, go to Job 32. 32. And look at verse 9. I would put the word necessarily in the middle of that verse. Okay. Start at verse 7 and you can see a little bit of the context. There's a man stepping out from the crowd speaking, and here's what he says. I thought age ought to speak. I thought advancing years will convey wisdom. There is, you see, a spirit residing in humanity, the breath of God conferring intelligence. But I'm adding a word that isn't in my translation, but I think it's necessary to make it make sense in the context. Great age does not necessarily give wisdom. Seniority does not necessarily result in fair judgment. I think that's the context. If your translations have something that more explicitly spells out that conditional, okay, you're not necessarily all that smart because you're old. You're not necessarily all that dumb because you're young. I think older folks can learn from younger folks. I think younger folks can learn from older folks. I think it will be stronger in the one direction. I think the age and experience does carry with it some things. But I think there is a way to learn, if only the joy of being alive. I loved Barbara's description of the book net this week. Now, while I'm on the subject of what we can learn from young people, I don't know if this is the right place to put it in, but I'm going to. Barbara reminded us of Amanda Whitaker's automobile accident this week. In fact, she was in the hospital. We went to see her last evening. When we got in there, she's trussed up with a neck brace where she cannot move her head in any direction. That's because the neck is not stable yet from the injuries. She's had problems with legs, so she's got her legs in compression bandages, and she's basically locked in place. She can move her arms, and that's about it. Okay. On her lap was a little stuffed lion, about this big. A little stuffed lion, about this big. She was holding on to that thing like crazy. And she started telling us about it. A member of the second Sunday school hour, that's the hour they normally come to, had come to visit and had brought this little thing to them and had said, "We want to give you this. This little lion can keep you company. You can tell the little lion the things you're dealing with. And if a nurse ever causes you too much pain, the little lion can growl at them." Her face lit up as she told us this story. So this morning, I saw the woman who did that. And I praised her publicly. I called 2 or 3 witnesses over and said how good a thing she had done. With tears in her eyes, she says, "That wasn't my idea. That was my daughter's idea." We could learn from that. It goes both ways. Now, if I can see my page. Job 11. I want to do a couple things real quickly and then see what we can do. Job chapter 11. Assuming I can read it. In one translation, Job 11 verse 6 has the phrase in it, "Wisdom is not a simple matter." Wisdom is not a simple matter. It's sort of buried in there. Chapter 12 verse 13. Chapter 12 verse 13. Chapter 12 verse 12. "Wisdom is found in the old. Discretion comes with great age. But in God there is wisdom and power too, and good counsel no less than discretion." Notice what he says. There's some kind of wisdom that's found in older people. There is a discretion that comes with great age. But in God there is wisdom and power. There is good counsel as well as discretion. God brings things to the table that others don't. One translation reads it this way: "True wisdom and true power are with God. Counsel and understanding are His." If you jump down to verse 16, "Strength and wisdom are with Him." Now I want to take you to verse 28, chapter 28, and read you a little bit. Y'all have a good day. And I want you to notice how many chemical elements show up here. This is a section that I particularly enjoy. "Silver has its mines, gold a place for refining. Iron is extracted from the earth, and smelted rocks yield copper. Man makes an end of darkness. To the utmost limit he digs. The black rock in shadow, dark as death. Foreigners bore into ravines and unfrequented places, swing suspended far from human beings. Bread comes from the surface, but beneath the earth there is ravaging by fire." One translation reads it as, "The earth is melted as by fire." I really wonder how they knew that. I really wonder how they knew that. "There the rocks have veins of sapphire, and their dust contains gold. This is a path unknown to any bird of prey. The vultures do not see this. It is a path not trodden by lordly beasts. No lion has ever walked where these things are. Man attacks the flint, upturning mountains by their roots. He cuts canals through the rock, on the watch for anything precious. He explores the sources of rivers, bringing hidden things to light. But where does wisdom come from?" Where is intelligence to be found? No human being knows the way to her. She is not found on earth where they live. She's not in me, says the abyss. Not here, says the sea. She cannot be bought with solid gold. She cannot be paid for with a weight of silver. She cannot be valued against the gold of Ophir, precious agate, or sapphire. Neither gold nor glass compares to her. For her, a vase of fine gold would be no exchange, let alone coral or crystal. Better to go fishing for wisdom than for pearls. Verse 20, where does wisdom come from? Where is intelligence to be found? Similar things are in the next few verses. Jump down to verse 28. God then said to human beings, wisdom, that's the fear of the Lord. Intelligence, the avoidance of evil. Now, I'm going to jump again, but I want to take you to Proverbs chapter 1. Start at verse 20. Proverbs chapter 1, start at verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud in the streets, raising her voice in the public squares. She calls out at the street corners and delivers her message at the city gates. You simple people, how much longer will you cling to your simple ways? How much longer will mockers revel in their mocking and fools go on hating knowledge? Pay attention to my warning. To you I will pour out my heart and tell you what I have to say. This goes on, but how is wisdom presented here? This is key. How is wisdom presented here? Can you see it? Wisdom is a person. Wisdom is shown as a person. Do you see it? Go to verse 23. I said 23. Does it? Yeah. Pay attention to my warning. To you I will pour out my heart and tell you what I have to say. There is one translation that says, I will pour out on you the spirit of wisdom and make you wise. Wisdom is a person with wisdom as a gift. Proverbs chapter 2, start at verse 9. If you can attain wisdom, verse 9, then you will understand uprightness, equity, and fair dealing. You will know the paths that lead to happiness. When wisdom comes into your heart and knowledge fills your soul with delight, then prudence will be there to watch over you, and understanding will be your guardian to keep you away from the way that is evil. And it goes on from there. Proverbs 4, verse 7. Read it. Let me paraphrase it. Getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. And whatever else you do, get good judgment.
Mine has an interesting reading. Verse 7 says, the beginning of wisdom is, acquire wisdom. And with your acquiring, get understanding.
Mm-hmm. I want you to jump over to Isaiah chapter 11. We're coming close to the end. Let me encourage you to this. I want you to tell me who is being described. Isaiah 11, verse 1. A shoot will spring from the stock of Jesse. A new shoot will grow from his roots. On him will rest the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of wisdom and insight, the spirit of counsel and power, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His inspiration will lie in fearing the Lord. His judgment will not be by appearances. His verdict will not be given on hearsay. He will judge the weak with integrity and give fair sentence for the humblest in the land. Who's being described? And that's the summary. Spiritual wisdom abides in, rests in, is found in our Lord. And His gift to us is for us, if we work with Him, to begin to understand how things work the way he understands how things work. Wisdom is a person, and we have the ability to have that person come to live in us. Two things I want to draw your attention to. Turn to James chapter 3, verse 17. James chapter 3, verse 17. This is one you'll need to come back to and look at. Start at verse 13 for context. Anyone who is wise or understanding among you should, from a good life, give evidence of deeds done in the gentleness of wisdom. But if at heart you have the bitterness of jealousy or selfish ambition, don't be boastful or hide the truth with lies. That's not the wisdom that comes from above, but earthly wisdom, human and devilish. That is, there is a kind of wisdom that isn't wisdom at all. Wherever there are jealousies and ambition, there is also disharmony and wickedness of every kind. On the other hand, I'm now at verse 17, the wisdom that comes down from above is essentially something, and now there is a long list of the characteristics of godly wisdom. Pure, peaceable, kindly, considerate, full of mercy, showing itself by doing good. No trace of partiality or hypocrisy in it. Peaceful and peacemaking. Now finally, come to 2 Corinthians 4, and we're going to close with this. I have a question just before we read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm not going to tell you the verse yet. What was in the mind of the Hebrews the most important attribute that one could have? Let me help you. Light. The opening of the Old Testament, the opening of the Hebrew Bible. What's the first thing God did? God said, "Let there be light." And that picture of light pervades the whole of the Bible. That was the ideal for the Hebrews, was light. What was the ideal for the Greeks? Knowledge. What was the ideal for the Romans? Glory. Listen again. The ideal for the Hebrews? Light. The ideal for the Greeks? Knowledge. The ideal for the Romans? Glory. You ready? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me start at verse 5. It is not ourselves that we are proclaiming, but Christ Jesus as the Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. It is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," that has shined in our hearts the light of the knowledge of the glory of Jesus Christ. Wisdom ties that all together. Everything the Hebrews were looking for, everything the Greeks were looking for, everything the Romans were looking for, it's all bound up there. Wisdom, in its essence, spiritual wisdom, is a person who gives not so much the gift of wisdom as the gift of himself to dwell in us. And his presence puts wisdom accessible to us. I encourage you to ponder these things this week. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Our Father, we pray for the wisdom that you want to give us. Wisdom that consists of Jesus alive, functioning in our hearts, and us responsive to and submissive to him. Teach us to recognize your voice when you speak. Teach us to recognize your leadings as you pull us or tug us or encourage us in this direction or that direction. We thank you for the wisdom that comes with age and experience. We thank you also for the instinctive wisdom that seems to come with some young people who are devoted to you. We thank you for a church in which both groups can meet, and we pray that you would show us how we can be more a body devoted to and committed to you, and therefore encouraging and working with and living with and enjoying each other. All these things we pray in your Son's name. Amen.